Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning at verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The latter part of verse 13 says, for this is the whole duty. The whole duty of man. This morning I want to speak on one word. The word duty. D-U-T-Y. Duty. I feel that this is an important word to us today. It very well may be the most important word in the human language outside proper nouns. I believe this word encompasses our entire life and livelihood. I read in Exodus 21 and 10, her duty of marriage. I read in, pardon me, that was Exodus 21 and 10. In Deuteronomy 25 and 5, it says, perform the duty of a husband's brother. 2 Chronicles 8 and 14 speaks of the duty of every day. Ezra 3 and 4 says, as the duty of every day requires. Duty. God has given to us duty. When I read the words of the song that Fanny Crosby wrote, I hear her say, rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. I say to the church this morning that God has placed upon every one of our shoulders a responsibility. He has given to us duty. And I say today, it is not an optional matter in our lives. But I declare unto you this morning that my responsibility to God is to fulfill my duty. Church, this morning, I want you to pay heed to this preacher this morning. It's not a sermon where we run the aisles and walk the benches and shout and dance and roll in the floor. But I believe it's a difference between heaven and hell. I believe it's a difference between our loved ones being saved and lost. I believe it's a difference in the example that we set before our children. The word duty, I believe we need to examine this word this morning. I believe today that if you took all of Christendom, I believe if you took all of Christianity, I believe you could wrap it up in one word. It's duty. It's duty. I believe as I studied this, as I prepared it, and it's been building in my heart for months and months, but it began to grow and to build and get bigger in my heart. Because when we think of Christianity, we think of holiness. We think of separation. But you can put that in the word duty. When I think of Christianity, I think of the word love. For God so loved. Love you one another, the scripture said. A new commandment I give. But you can wrap that up in duty. I believe today that we need to stop as a church and weigh our duty and realize that this thing called serving God is not an option that falls on Sunday only, but we have a duty. Can you say amen? I believe we need to realize this. We have a responsibility to God. We have a duty. God said this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty. Duty. A responsibility. What does the word duty mean? Let's answer it before we leave the service today. God has given to every man, woman, boy, and girl in this church. I have seen people. Let me ask you this. How many has ever seen what is called in religious circles church tramps? They go from here to yon to over yonder. They come to church here and they get tired and they wind up over there. I remember some folk that visited the old church. They were regular visitors for a while. You know, we have visitors and we have church people and then we have regular visitors. They never get in, but they don't get out. They're just regular visitors. I didn't get to checking up on them, but I knew people that knew them. And before long, I found out that they'd gone to just nearly every church in the country, at least out in this area. And they'd get where they didn't like one, they'd just move on to the other. If the preacher get a little close where they're living, they just move down the road. We call them church tramps in some circles, or hitchhikers. Some call them hitchhikers, always got the thumb out, looking for some new thing, going some new place. They don't want to buckle under their duty. They don't want to come under their responsibility. But God said it's every man's duty. This is the whole duty of man. One sat in the pastor's study and said, "Pastor, I no longer want to run the bus route. It's not fun any longer." Another said, "Pastor," to me as they sit in my office, "Pastor, I just don't feel like teaching my Sunday school class anymore." Another said, I don't understand. I no longer desire to pray like I once prayed." Another said to me, "Pastor, I no longer have a joy or get joy from going on visiting. It's no longer fun to work with the CAs." Another said and said, "Pastor, I don't understand what's wrong with me. I've lost my burden for the lost." Another said, "I don't like to go soul winning. I don't like to go on visitation. I don't like to teach Sunday school. I don't like to pass out tracts. I don't like to sing in the choir. I don't like to teach Royal Rangers. I don't like to teach missionettes. I don't like to run a bus route. I don't like to work around the church. Something's happened to me, Pastor. I don't enjoy the Bible anymore. I used to put aside the magazines and the newspaper and pick up God's Word. I used to prefer the Bible and prayer over television. But Pastor, something has happened. I prefer TV now over time with God. I no longer enjoy coming to church. I used to not wait till I could get here. It was a thrill to be here. But now the thrill is gone. I used to love to go to CAs. I used to love to hear the choir sing. I used to love to hear the church as they sing the hymns of praise. They said, I used to love the testimonies and the preaching of God's Word. I used to love to get in the altars and pray. But it's not fun anymore. And the thrill is gone." It's at this point in your life where we separate the men from the boys. You've come to that point in your life where you no longer enjoy to go soul winning and witnessing. You no longer enjoy teaching Sunday school and teaching Royal Rangers and teaching missionettes, running a bus route. But friends, when you come to the place that you can transfer your motivation from inspiration to obligation, when you come to the place where these things, and you come to the place that you don't want to do them because you've lost the tingle, because you don't like to do it anymore, because you're not excited anymore. When you come to the place, you say, "I don't like to do it. I don't have a tingle. I don't get excited, but I'll do it because it's my duty." Then you're about to discover what it means to be a good Christian. You're coming now to that place when you're going to find out what living for God is all about. When you say Pastor John 3:16 is old hat, you can say it's nothing anymore. I just read it and I can quote it and I can forget it, but I'm going to read it because it's my duty. When you come to the place, you say it's not fun to teach Sunday school anymore, but I'm going to teach because it's my duty. It's not fun to go to Royal Rangers and Missionettes anymore, but I'm going to do it because it's my duty. It's not enjoyable to go practice by the hour in the choir anymore, but I'm going to be there every time because it's my duty. It's not fun to take my Saturday hours when I could be with my family or doing projects at the home to run a bus route to pick up snotty-nosed kids who are barefooted, who are dirty, who stink, whose parents don't care if they go to heaven or hell, whose parents don't care if they have enough to eat or not, but I'll go and I'll get them on that bus and I'll bring them to church because it's my duty. When you come to that place, you're reaching a place, you're becoming a good Christian. Anybody can do it when it's fun, but when you do it because it's your duty, you're discovering what it means to be a good Christian. I think it's time we must have enough character that even though it's not fun, we're going to say, God said to do it, and I'm going to do it. Hang on to your seat. I think it's time that Pentecostals grew up. I'm sick and tired of us running along here on the low octane gas called enthusiasm. We have a good service if we come in and somebody's got a raise and we say, "Woo, glory, I'm feeling better tonight. Let's shout, let's get the fast music going. Let's get in here, let's pray." Oh, we get all wound up. We're just like them little cars the kids buy Christmas. We get that springtime, we get to going fast. "Oh, glory, I love God, I love God. It's wonderful to be saved." The spring gets weak and it slows down, and all of a sudden the spring is sprung. We come to church and we can walk under this carpet rug, this good little floor with a hat on, and never knock it off. We're so low. We say, "Bless God, preacher, you're lucky to have me here. Move me if you can." It's time we quit living on enthusiasm and come to church when I feel like it, and come to church when I don't. Get in and have church when I feel like it, and get in and worship God when I don't feel like it, because it's our duty. It's our duty. Amen. I believe in hollering amen. I want to tell you, you need to be faithful to church and faithful to God when the amens are gone. I believe in hollering to the top of your voice, "Hallelujah." But I believe you need to witness and win souls when the hallelujahs are no longer present. You have no right to quit witnessing. We have no right to quit the bus route. We have no right to quit teaching Sunday school. We have no right to quit the choir and quit Royal Rangers and quit Missionettes just because it's not fun any longer. I think it's time when we reach the place it's no longer fun that we can come to the place we can say, "I don't like to teach Sunday school. I don't like to witness. I don't like Royal Rangers. I don't like Missionettes. I don't tingle when I teach anymore. But just because I don't tingle, I'm going to do it anyway because it's my duty." Amen. Who riled up the preacher? The devil did, that's who. And I say it's time we woke up to our duty. I think it's time we come to the place where we can say, "It's my class. It's my Royal Ranger group. It's my Missionette group. It's my business to sing in a choir. It's my business to run the bus, whatever it may be. And I'm going to do it when it's hot. I'm going to teach when it's cold. I'm going to be there when I feel like it. I'm going to be there when I don't feel like it. I'm going to teach when I want to go somewhere else. I'm going to teach when I'm up. I'm going to teach when I'm down. I'm going to teach when I tingle. I'm going to teach when I don't tingle. I'm going to do it because it's my duty to do it." rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Duty demands it. Implanted in my mind is a picture of the Potomac River. It's a cold, snowing winter's day in Washington, D.C. That huge jet falters and finally plummets as a tail section crashes over that bridge and that fuselage falls into the Potomac River. Fastened in my mind is a man who was minding his business, could have drove his car home, got by his fireplace and got his kids around him. They could have eaten popcorn and warmed their toesies, crispy warm by the fire. But I see that man as he parked his car, threw off his shoes, and dove into those icy waters to rescue that woman. You ask him why he did it. I love that woman. He had never seen that woman before in his life. That was my friend's wife. He didn't know her husband. Well, he worked for the city and it was his job. It wasn't on his portfolio. You ask him today and he said it was my duty to do what I could. And I want to tell you today, friends, the aircraft of life has crashed in a sea of problems and mankind is drowning today, and it's our duty to rescue the perishing. I want to tell you, a good church will become a great church when its reasons for serving God is no longer excitement and enthusiasm, but it becomes duty. Then a good church becomes a great church. We've all been there. When we've had the special contest and the campaigns, we're going to go over the top. And I hear that big lip back there in the back say, we'll never do it, we'll never do it. Another says, don't like big churches, don't like big churches. Crowds make me nervous. We've all been there. When we broke the records over the preacher's head because we broke records that day. We've all been there when we shot over the top and we shouted, hallelujah, glory to God. We had it, we did it. But I want to tell you, when the shout's gone, when the amens are gone, we still have to get up and work and build the church anyway, because it's our duty. Amen. When the pastor says, we're going to have Pack a Pew Sunday. Come on, let's get with it. We're going to have 150 in Sunday school. Woo, glory! Oh, it's wonderful. What you do right then determines what kind of Christian you are. If you say, well, praise God. 150, that's wonderful. I don't feel like working anymore. I don't get excited about records anymore. I don't like that numbers board, numbers and games. But I'm going to work to have it anyway because it's my duty. Then we're finding out what kind of Christian we really are. Becoming the Christian God wants us to be. Church, this morning, let's wake up and realize that this thing doesn't run on enthusiasm. The fuel in our tank isn't the shout and the whoop and the tongue talking and enthusiasm and excitement. The fuel that makes the church run is the fuel of duty. God pity anybody who says, I'm going to quit witnessing. I'm going to quit going out on visitation. I'm going to quit teaching. I'm going to quit going to missionettes and Royal Rangers. I'm going to quit the bus because I don't tingle anymore when I do it. I want to make an announcement today that just might shock your little booties. Hi, Benny Ferguson, pastor of Prattwood Assembly of God Church. many times over the past years. I've been in this building, in the old building, before the sun ever broke the eastern horizon. I, Benny Ferguson, who prayed in these altars in the midnight hours, stayed when everybody else was home to seek God. I, Benny Ferguson, let me tell you, don't always like to go on visitation. I don't always like to get in that office and prepare to preach on Sunday. Huh? You backslid? Maybe we ought to have a pastoral election instead of CA elections Wednesday night. What's wrong with our preacher? He don't always like to go out on visitation. He don't always like to preach. No. And you don't always like to either. But I'll tell you, friends, I get out of bed when I'd rather stay in bed. I stay up when I'd rather go to bed. I work when I'm tired. I work when it's hot. I work when it's cold. I preach when I feel good, and I preach when I don't. Because it's my duty. I've left the hospital bedside of people who wasn't near as sick as me and come to this pulpit and preach. Why? So somebody can say, look who he is. No, 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 because it's my duty to do it. That's why I do it. I want to tell you, teacher, don't you come to that Sunday school class on Sunday morning and all smiles and hallelujah, I'm here because of my great enthusiasm. We're going to turn Sand Springs upside down. I'm all enthused. Mister, your little fizzle's going to fizz. You're going to play yo-yo. What is that thing over yonder, bell singer? What do they call it? Up and down, up and down. I've watched that thing over there, and any fool knows not to get on it. I've seen that thing as it trying to get to the top. That's hard work. That's not enthusiasm, that's duty. I got to get to the top. And it's just barely going. Anybody can ride that. And it pulls and pulls. It's heavy. It's hard to get there. Nobody likes to do it when it's hard. That thing levels out in a minute, and look out. It goes slow going up. That's duty. Duty's not always high speed. I'll tell you what enthusiasm does to you. Brother, they get to the top, and before the last one's to the top, the first one's already going down. Whoosh. Down that thing goes. And that's what happens when we get all worked up by enthusiasm. Before you know it, we're going to crash land. And I like enthusiasm good as anybody. But brother, we need to come to church when the enthusiasm has flew out the window. We need to be faithful to God when the enthusiasm is taking a vacation. We need to teach our Sunday school class with fervor when enthusiasm's sick in the hospital. God, wake us up and realize we've got to do it because it's our duty. I remember when I was a boy, Mama called me in. Daddy come in from the fields to work. It'd be hot, summertime. Mama would holler out the door, son, dinner's ready. Now when people say, we want you to come to dinner, I say, what time? Everybody knows that dinner's served at 12 noon, but some of these city slickers think it's in the evening. That's supper. Dinner's ready. Ooh, I'm about to starve to death. I've been working up an appetite all morning. I come running in there, and I sit down at that table, and I look over in that glass bowl, and I'm not hungry anymore. Down in that bowl is a bowl of okra, swimming in castor oil juice. Little white balls ooze. And they called it okra because they couldn't spell yuck when they invented that mess. Okra. How many knows it takes at least a half a dozen times swallowing to keep one pot of greased okra down? Oh, brother. You'll fast lunch now, won't you? Folks, that's the most discouraging sight I ever saw in my life. God is preparing me for the ministry. Okra. Mama, I can't eat that. All you can do is suck it in. You better keep sucking after it's long gone, or you'll have to suck again. Mama, I don't like that. White balls making faces at me. Son, eat your okra. 5 years old, any 5 year old shouldn't have to go through that. Eat your okra. I got to be 10 years old and mama still called me in to eat okra. I didn't like it any better at 10 than I did at 5. When I was 15, mama called me in and you guessed it, to eat okra. You know why I ate okra? I was enthused about okra, just like your kids are about carrots. I ate okra because I was excited about okra. No. You know why I ate okra? It was my duty to eat okra. It was my head's responsibility to my posterior to inhale that okra. But when I got grown, a miracle took place. I want to tell you about that miracle. I learned to like okra. I couldn't believe it. It was sitting down in front of me. How many of you men know it's different when mama tells you to eat okra and your next boss tells you to eat okra? Now, mother was understanding. But when you're grown, son, eat your okra. I learned to like that greasy mess. And how many knows today there's nothing better than a pan full of okra and cornbread and onions and fried, of all things, squash. The next thing worse to okra. How many knows that's the best meal you could have? I want to tell you the truth. You set a bowl of cornbread down and a bowl of okra down right beside a T-bone steak. You know which one I'll pick every time? All of them. My mama didn't raise no fool. But I don't get tired of it anymore. Now, there's a lesson in that. I knew you wasn't interested in what I like for dinner, but there's a lesson in that. When you do your duty and you don't like it, but you do it because it's your duty, the day will come, God will let you learn to like to do your duty. Church, listen to me. I see the new Christian. How many have seen it? He gets saved. He jumps from that altar. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm going to go out and win the world. I want to sing in the choir, pastor. Have you got a Sunday school class I can teach? I'd like to lead the singing. I'd like to sing a special song. Could I work with Royal Rangers? Could I be in missionettes? I'd like to help Brother Rick with the CAs. I'd like to work. I want something to do. And brother, you can't find enough to keep those fellas busy. But one day that guy comes in with his chin on the floor. It ain't fun to witness anymore. It's not fun to go on visitation anymore. Now, none of us have ever said it, but I've heard it said, just give them a little time. They'll cool off. Hello? Now, I said we never said it, but there are those who do. They'll cool off. But I see him come in. I don't like to teach anymore. I don't like to go on visitation anymore. It's not fun. But right there decides whether he's going to make it or break it. Because if he says it's not fun anymore, my tingle's gone, but the Bible says for me to do it, and I'm going to do it because it's my duty, then you've got a real Christian on your hands. He really got saved. The real test comes when you decide to go when it seems like God said, you go ahead, but I'm going to stay here. But you go anyway. But the day will come if you'll go when it doesn't feel good to go. If you'll teach when it doesn't, when it isn't fun to teach, the day will come, God will put the tingle back. The day will come, it'll be fun again. And I want to tell you, brother, you talking about the second blessing. You hadn't had anything till you get the second tingle. Till you've taught when it was fun, and then you taught when it wasn't fun. And God put the tingle back in. God put the fun back in. God put the blessing back in. Because you was faithful, and you did it when it wasn't fun. And you did it when there was no excitement. Mister, that's when you've got a hold of something. We've all read that bumper sticker. If it feels good, do it. Why are you hanging on free sex? It's awful. If it feels good, do it. But 9 out of 10 Assembly of God people ought to wear it on their back. Because I'll teach, Pastor, if it feels good. I'll be there tonight if it feels good. But we're going to look out the window this evening and say, Pastor, it's still snowing. Ring, ring, ring. Pastor, we're sorry. This can't be there. It don't feel good. Sit by that fireplace and be nice and cozy. Or bundle up and get the kids out in the snow. It just don't feel good. Hello? Are you with me? How many's done? I ain't. It's not 12, so let's keep going. You run the bus route as long as it feels good. You teach Sunday school as long as it feels good. You go to CAs as long as it feels good. Sing in the choir if it feels good. Teach Miss Nancy if it feels good. I want to tell you, friends, if you're where you ought to be with God, you'll do those things when it feels bad. If we're where we ought to be with God, amen? God, wake us up. I want to tell you, friends, there's something wrong with this undisciplined, irresponsible religion that is infesting our churches today. There's something wrong with a man's Christianity when he lives for God and does what he should only when it's fun or if it feels good. Listen to the poet when he said, I slept and dreamed that life was beauty. But he said, I woke and found that life was duty. Duty is the cement that binds the moral fiber of our lives together. It's one word that separates the A student from the fellow that just gets by. That word is duty. One word separates the clean, pure young man and the clean, pure young lady from the tramp on the street. That word is duty. One word separates the faithful, laboring Christian from the occasional church attender. Duty. One word separates the great church from the mediocre church. Duty. One word separates the loyal church member from the rebel that would destroy the pastor and the church. That word is duty. Thursday nights, you come home, you're tired, you're exhausted. The boss has been on your back all day. It's cold, it's snowing outside. The fireplace bids you come. Your slippers are there, the evening paper. The aromas drift in from heaven, I mean from the kitchen. Oh, it's wonderful. But consciousness snaps you back to reality. In your Bible is that little pink form handed to you last night, Wednesday night at church. It has the name of 4 people who are hurting, that missed church, that were visitors who have been sick. Right there, friends, is the crunch. One word determines if you snuggle up to that table and you eat that hearty, robust meal that's been prepared, and then you slip into your slippers, slip into that cozy recliner, warm your feet by the fireplace, and play with the kids or the grandkids and tickle them under the chin. Or if you go to your bedroom and put on your snowshoes and you bundle up with your overcoat and you go out to find those who are hurting, who need help, who are wounded in life, that word that separates what you do at that moment is duty. 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 One word decides if you'll leave here this morning saying, I'm going to teach my class. In a greater measure, I'm going to do the job that God's given me in this church more and better. Or I'm just going to pass it off. That word is duty. Duty is what builds great homes. Duty is what builds great churches. Duty is what builds great Sunday school classes. Duty is what builds great bus routes. Duty is what builds great children's churches. Duty is what builds great CA groups. Duty is what builds Royal Rangers and missionettes. George Washington's motto was one word. That word was duty. One general carried before his men as they rode into battle a banner. And the bold letters were these: not glory, not victory, not honor, not country, but duty. Duty goes witnessing when it's cold. Duty visits a sick member of the Sunday school class when it doesn't feel good. Duty stays when inspiration leaves. Duty's loyal when it doesn't like the pastor. Duty's faithful when some new thing has come to town. Duty pays its tithes when it says, I can't afford to. An old preacher stood one morning in a convention, and with a quivering voice said, brethren, today I'm 80-some years. All of these years I've looked forward to retiring, fishing, hunting, taking life easy. That's what I wanted. Said, brethren, a few weeks ago I was able to fulfill that dream. I retired. I've fished, I've hunted, I've rested. I was having a good time, I thought. An old man said this morning, the Holy Ghost has touched my soul. And he raised those old bony arms towards heaven and said, brethren, a few days ago I retired, but this morning I'm re-enlisting. And I say it's time today that some of our people re-enlist. Samuel Chadwick said, brethren, the crying sin of the church is her laziness after God. I close in a moment. A man came to me and said, pastor, I need to talk. This man began to talk to me, and he had everything that a man could want. He had security and employment. He had financial security. The lovely wife. Beautiful, intelligent children. He was the kind of man that every pastor would want in his church. He had natural ability. He was a great Sunday school teacher. He was a hard worker. He said, pastor, I'm going to resign my Sunday school class. Teaching's lost its thrill. This man had found new interest in life. Now as I look backwards over the past years, I look at that man and I weep. For today that man's wife has left him and been married once or twice since. Only one of his children will even have anything to do with him. He made the statement, I have to give my youngest child money just to get him to come see me. That man stood at my office door years ago. And he said, pastor, I give my wife money. What more could she want from me? Today, that man's lost his financial security. You say, why all of those things happening to this man? I want to tell you why. It began when he resigned his Sunday school class. He said, I no longer tingle. Now that's not what he said to me, but that's what it amounted to. I don't tingle anymore. I've lost the enthusiasm for teaching. I have greater and new interest. And friends, right there, not when he stood at my office, but when the thrill left and he said, I'm leaving too, that's where he lost it all. Another man sat down in Huntsville State Penitentiary and he wrote a letter. And he wrote to his pastor in another state. And he said, Pastor, I'm doing time in the state pen because I murdered my wife and the high school coach when I found them both in the back seat of his car. Now I'm doing time. He said, it all began that day I resigned my Sunday school class. What he could have really said was, it began that day it became no longer fun to teach. Many of our own people here in Prattwood are headed for serious trouble unless they're very careful. Some have already reached the place where they only do something if it's fun. Prattwood, we must transfer our motivation from serving God from inspiration to obligation and duty. Many of our own are going to be casualties on the battlefield of service because they only have done it if it's fun. Let's today make up our minds. If teaching's no longer fun, I'll do it anyway. If witnessing and going on visitation is no longer fun, I'll do it anyway. If Royal Rangers, Missionettes, CAs, WMs, you name it, if it's no longer fun, I'll do it anyway. Because it's my duty. 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 I bring to you one word this Sunday morning. That word is duty. What will you do with your duty? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one's looking around. The Spirit of God has come to speak to our hearts. I'm not talking about the enthusiasm of excitement. I'm not talking about the thrill of the moment. I'm talking about when it's drudgery, I'll do it anyway. Because the day will come, God will put the thrill back in it. How many this morning will raise a hand and say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's touched my heart today. I've got to change my motivation from inspiration to obligation. I've got to change from the thrill to duty. If your motivation is inspiration, friends, today you're going to be a roller coaster up one day and down the next. How many lift a hand and say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's found me today. And I want my reason for serving God to be duty. Could I see your hand? Yes, here's hands. Here's hands. Here's hands. I'll go to church if it feels good. I'll go there if I like them. But God said this is the whole duty
with me. Would you stand with me, please? I want us to fill these altars this morning. I want us to come and find a place. I don't want us to ask God for inspiration. I don't want us to say, God, give me the excitement again. I want us to say, God, help me to understand my responsibility and live under my duty. Church, I'm not saying that living for God has to be a drudgery. Don't go away saying that the pastor said, I've got to have a long face. I believe we can enjoy serving God. But when the kicks and the thrills are not there, we serve God anyway. Life can be exciting in general, but when life's not exciting in general, life must go on because of duty. You can enjoy your job and it can be exciting. But when it's not fun, Jack, when it's not fun to get out in those old tanks, it's a duty to get in there, isn't it? Sure it is. Sure it is. Rick, when it's not fun to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go water the grass that's burning up, you got to. It's duty, right? That's what we do on the job. And when the thrill and the kicks are gone out of religion, we're going to do it anyway because it's our duty. And God will put the fun back in. God will give us the thrill and the joy again if we'll do our duty. Would you fill these altars this morning and say, come Holy Spirit and help me to be man enough, woman enough to do my duty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Monsoriboho. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.